of Israel. And God specifically wanted to send a prophet to Nineveh. And I'm going to start right out with a question for you this morning. Do you have this attitude? Do you have a heart to reach your enemies for Christ? By the way, who is the enemy of America today as a country? Let's just throw some names out. Would it be Afghanistan? Would it be Iran? Would it be North Korea? You know, I have been to some Christian gatherings, and I'm sure you have been to some Christian gatherings too, where we talk about Muslims as though they were our enemies. And there is no talk whatsoever about how to share the love of Jesus with them. And I want to remind you, as I remind myself, that we must never, as Christians, we must never lose sight of the fact that our goal with all people is to win them to Jesus Christ. That is the goal. God loves everyone. And I believe he sent Jonah to Nineveh, the capital city of the enemy of the children of Israel, to say, I love all people. What about your situation in your life? Do you have people in your life that grieve you? Maybe you have some people at work that make life difficult for you. Maybe you have neighbors that disgust you with their lifestyle. Maybe you have people at school that make life difficult for you. I want to remind you that God has compassion on them. And your goal is not to be their enemy. Your goal is not to win. Your goal is not to fight against them. Your goal is to share the gospel with them. God wants to use you to love your enemies and share the gospel with them. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which is going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was trying to run away from God. My question to you, have you ever wanted to run away from God? Have you ever wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord? Two reasons, perhaps more, but two reasons why someone wants to run away from God. Number one, they are doing something they know God doesn't want them to do. And number two, in the case of Jonah, they are not doing something that God wants them to do. And my prayer for you, Trinity, and my prayer for myself, is that you would never run away from God. May I never be so blinded by my sin, by my love of self, by my love of money, by my love of pleasure. May I never be so blinded that I would give a single thought to running away from God. Verse 4. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, laid down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is that you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." Look, Trinity, at the sovereignty of God, who is in complete control of the situation. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where did you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Notice Jonah's answer. They're in a ship. There's a storm. The ship is about to sink or break up or disintegrate. And Jonah says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea had become extremely stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, "I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me." Trinity Baptist, this really impresses me. This really impresses me. Just look at this. Sometimes we think our problems are too big for God. God cannot or will not help us. The story of Jonah should strengthen your faith. You talk about a desperate situation. Jonah had been thrown into the sea. And then he's swallowed by a fish. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but at that point, I think I might be tempted to give up. There's this fantastic cartoon. Maybe you've seen it. It's a single-frame cartoon, and it says, "Never give up." And I don't have it. I can't put it on the screen behind you, but it's a picture of a frog being swallowed by a pelican. And the frog has been swallowed by the pelican, but his arms are free. So with his arms, he is choking the bird. It's a wonderful picture of not giving up. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I've been in some pretty desperate times in my life, but never like this. Never like this. He's thrown overboard. He's about to drown. A fish swallows him, and even in the belly of the fish, God hears his prayers. Not only that, but Jonah knew that his situation was from the Lord. He was in that fish because God decreed it. Verse 4. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever, but you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Notice what Jonah says, Trinity. He says, I said, I have been expelled from your sight. My question to you is, have you ever felt that because of your sin, God has kicked you out of his family? Have you ever felt so overwhelmed with guilt? Have you ever felt so overwhelmed with your own sinfulness that you felt that God had no use for you anymore? Jonah had every reason to feel the same way. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He said, no, and he went the other direction. And from his limited point of view, his life ended. God had not forgotten Jonah. And my brother or my sister, God has not forgotten you either. God was ready to forgive Jonah and give him a second chance. You know, one of my favorite Bible characters is Peter. You read the story of Peter, and it is life-changing. As our Lord is taken away and brutally treated, crown of thorns, beaten, spat upon, made fun of, rejected, about to be killed, in his greatest hour of need, in his greatest hour of need, a servant girl looks at Peter and says, hey, you're his disciple. And he goes, I do not know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. He begins to curse and swear and says, I do not know the man. Scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever felt that way? You blew it so bad, and you know it, and you're so grieved over your own sinfulness that you weep and weep and weep bitterly. What a life-changing moment when our Lord is at the sea, and he's cooking fish, and Peter comes, and he says, Simon, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And the Lord says, feed my sheep. Be the leader of the church. I forgive you. I still love you. You're still my child. In the case of Jesus, you're still my brother, and I still want to use you for my service. What about you? Do you feel that your sin has made you useless to God? Run to God. Run to God. Don't run from him. Admit your sin. Forsake your sin. Forget the past. God will use you again. Verse 8. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Great decision on his part, wouldn't you say? Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. What a great picture of belief. As I read Jonah chapter 3, it struck me that Jonah chapter 3 is a guide for praying for the Coachella Valley. As we go out once a month, as we went out to the fair, but as we in this church go out once a month on the streets to share Christ on the streets, and as you, each one of you, go to your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, this is the response we want people to have. I went out with my team in January, and I shared the gospel with two young men. And this is the greatness, this is the advantage of taking Carrie's class, because when you complete Carrie's class, you just go to Exodus 20. And it's really very easy. You just share your heart with a person. And I went with my team up and down Valencia, and I met two young men. And the first young man, I said, hey, we're just out sharing the good news of Jesus with people. Have you ever heard the good news of Jesus? Oh, yeah, I have. Most people are going to say yes. You don't stop there. Have you heard the good news of Jesus? Oh, yeah, I have. Oh, okay, bye. You say, well, can I share it with you more? Can I share more? Yes, you can. At this point, Carrie's class kicks right in. And you ask a very simple question. Do you think you're a good person? Yeah, yeah, I'm a good person. Well, do you mind if we look at that from the scriptures? And I got my Bible, and I take Exodus chapter 20. And I just open up to 20, and I've got the guy sitting right there, and I just say, then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. And you look at your friend, and you say, have you ever served anything or anyone, including yourself, more than God? Or have you loved and served God number one perfectly for your entire life?
Oh, I've been pretty good, but, you know.
I say, you know what?
Yeah, me too. I've blown that one too.
Well, let's look at the next one. You shall not make yourself an idol, any likeness, what's in heaven above or on earth beneath, the water on the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on their third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you worship God completely and totally with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or have you ever fallen short of that standard? And they will all say, I've fallen short of that standard. And you simply say, you know what? I have too. And then you walk them down, and my favorite is you get down to verse 13 in Exodus 20. This is not my favorite. I shouldn't have said it that way, but a powerful way to do it. You get down to verse 13, you shall not murder. Have you ever murdered anyone? You know, I actually have witnessed to someone who answered yes to that question. That kind of makes you a little nervous after a while. But most people will say no. Have you ever murdered anyone? No. And you say, oh, really? Well, can we turn to Matthew chapter 5? You've heard that it was said, and you simply say, these are the words of Jesus. You've heard that it said, you shall not murder. But if you hate your brother, if you say to your brother, Raca, and then Jesus' powerful words, if you call your brother a fool, you are guilty enough to go to hell. And I just look at my dear friend and I say, you may not have murdered anyone, but have you ever hated them in your heart? Yes, yes, I have. You know what? I have too. And then you're in Matthew 5. You can continue on. Do not commit adultery. Jesus says, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And by the time you finish Exodus 20, you simply ask this simple question. If you were to die today and God were to judge you simply based on these Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? And I have never, ever, 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 ever had someone say, I would be innocent. They all say, if in fact I died today and God judged me on that basis, I would be guilty. And the reason I picked the song, I love to tell the story. Those of you that have done this know what I'm talking about. There is no greater joy than at that moment to say, I've got the greatest news for you. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he took your punishment for all of your sins. Trinity Baptist Church, when I am talking to someone on the street like that, my heart sings those words. I may say it with my lips, but my heart is singing when I look at that person and say, Jesus died for your sins. Those of you that have done it know what I'm talking about. There's no greater joy than to look at someone who has understood that they're guilty and say, Jesus took all the penalty for all of your sin. And God is standing waiting to forgive you and wipe the slate clean. My heart sings those words, even though I say them, because it's such an awesome privilege. The song says, I love to tell the story. Do you love to tell the story? Do you love it? It's fantastic. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray from Jonah 3, 1 through 9. That as you go out and share the gospel, that people like the people of Nineveh would be so convinced they are under the wrath of God that they're ready to do anything and they're ready to repent. Look at verse 10. This is the good news of the gospel, Trinity Baptist. Verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. That's my God. That's your God. 1 John 1:9 says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He can be counted on. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news of the gospel is that no matter who you are and no matter what you've done in life, if you repent and turn to God, he will forgive you. It's a slam dunk. He will forgive you. Now look at Jonah's response. You know, before we move on, I've said this so clearly from this pulpit, but it's my goal that every single one of you take Carrie's class. And if you're scared to take Carrie's class, that is the reason you need to take it. Because it's what God commands us to do. Carrie will gently lead you up to it. He doesn't just throw you to the dogs on the first class. I took Carrie's class myself, and the first piece of homework is simply to leave a gospel tract lying around someplace. Take a gospel tract and just stick it somewhere, bus stop, park bench, anywhere. And then the next homework is you just say hi to someone. Standing in line at the market or whatever, you just say, hi, how are you doing today? Fine. Oh, did my homework. Then you just give someone a tract. Hi, can I give that to you? If you've never given out a gospel tract before, you need to do it. It's so much fun. You know who loves to give out gospel tracts? You know who loves to give out gospel tracts? My daughter, Elizabeth. I took her to the fair on Thursday, and I thought she'd want to ride rides and get food and spend all my money and do all this stuff. And we visited the booth to check on the people there that were ministering in the booth, and we got some tracts. And Elizabeth says, Dad, I just want to pass these out to people. That's all I really want to do. And of course I went, no. I just fought back the tears and I said, okay, sweetheart, let's do that. And we just walked around the fair passing out gospel literature. Praise God. Pretty soon, if you take the class, you will discover slowly but surely Carrie has gently and patiently worked you up to where you are sharing the gospel with someone, and the first time you do that, you'll never be the same. Jonah 4, it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better than life. Is Jonah's description of God erroneous? Let's look at it again. Jonah, he seems to be really, really blowing this whole thing, so we can maybe assume that he's got God wrong. For I knew, verse 2, for I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. Jonah is really blowing this, so we better check on his description of God. So let's go straight to the source. Listen, please, to Exodus 34. Now the Lord said to Moses, who's talking, by the way? God, says Elder Michael, and he's right. Cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write... I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered. So be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain. So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him, and he called, as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Who's talking? Who's talking? The Lord. And the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is exactly who God is. It has changed my life to know that that is how God describes himself. That is a true description of God. And Jonah knew it. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He said, this is really going to be a lot of work. I'm going to have to walk around this huge city. It takes 3 days to walk it. And I'm going to proclaim 40 days from now, Nineveh will be overthrown. I'm going to go through all this work, and I know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to repent, and you're not going to do it. So I don't want to go. Terrible attitude. But we can learn something from that. The Lord can be counted on to do as he says, to act according to his nature. Don't you know that the people of Nineveh were evil people? You can study the scriptures. You can study the people of Assyria. They are evil people. But they repented in sackcloth and ashes, and the Lord forgave them. And he can be counted on to do the same for you. Verse 4, the Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day and attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better for me than life. The question I want to ask you, Trinity, is why do we not have compassion for the lost? And it's one word, and it's selfishness. We focus on ourselves, we live for ourselves, we serve ourselves, and we don't have compassion for the lost. Verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? He said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, or which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Listen to this burning question from God, a question that should burn in our hearts for the rest of our life. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? You remember, of course, the incredible words of our Lord in the book of Luke, when he looks down from the cross on the people that had treated him so poorly, having the ability to call down 10,000 angels to wipe them out. And he looks down and he says, what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. God says, should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? Why do lost people act the way they do? Why do they hurt us? Why do they treat us so badly? Why do they behave the way they do? Why do they make us so bad? Because they are lost. May the Lord change our hearts. May the Lord change our hearts. I heard of a preacher who will remain nameless, who was preaching, and he said, the Lord will know that God is in this place when you see my Mercedes-Benz. The Lord will know that God is in this place when you see my wife's mink coat. And I want to tell you, Trinity Baptist, that the Lord will know that God is in this place when we love our enemies. No matter what I drive. Would you turn to the person next to you, please, and would you pray and ask the Holy Spirit, would you pray and ask God, the Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would love our enemies and we would have no greater concern than to see them come to Christ. Would you pray that with the person next to you, please? As the worship team comes forward, I want to ask you a question. Who has God called you to tell? Who has God called you to tell? God has spoken to you and he has said, arise and go and proclaim the gospel to this person and proclaim the gospel to this group of people. Who has God called you to tell? Will you be a Jonah? Will you be a Jonah? Or will you arise and obey? Stand with me.